te wā nāia nei, 25 miniti ki te rima karakai te ahiahi, rawi ki te kōrero i a koutou kato. Ko Claudette Hawiti, tēnei ko au te kai papaho o tēnei hōtaka, drive with Claudette until 7 o'clock. Ka huri ahau ki te wāia nāia nei, ki te kōrero, ki te māreikura o tēnota, Dr. Ella Henry, she has been presenting at the Y2700 Manawahine claim. This is day one of the third week of the Manawahine claims in Whangarei. This week they are there. Ella Henry joins us now. Me tuku mihi kia koe, Dr. Ella. Thanks so very much for joining us this afternoon.
Hi, ngā mihi nunui kia koe. Me koutou katoa.
Congratulations on your presentation in Manawahine. I say congratulations because it was an outstanding story. It was a part of history that, you know, is not heard of, probably not even within whānau, not just your pūrākau, but with others as well too. Hannah Maxwell's stories as well too. We're listening to Rowley Makiha at the moment. I guess the big takeaway, from a heart point of view, a ngākau point of view, is the ability to hear our tipuna wahine names, their deeds, their actions, and the legacy that they left.
Absolutely. But more importantly, I think certainly from my perspective, was the ability to be able to share with a wider audience my learning when I did my master's. As I said, I started at 30 years ago. And for me, it was a revelation because I did not know this stuff, that in our pre-colonial, pre-European times, Māori women had equal status to men, not because men had any greater status, but because we had equality in our traditional society. We didn't waste human beings by making them inferior. Everybody played an active role in the community in leadership and participation and economic well-being. And much of that was lost when we signed the treaty for our Māori women.
So colonisation, yes, and also Christianity. Yes, I mean, Christianity part of colonisation, absolutely. But, you know, there were many prongs to that fork that actually unravelled and undid our systems and our structures.
Absolutely, because if you remember, when we signed the treaty, on February the 6th, 1840, we all became British citizens. But at that time in Britain, women were legally defined as chattels. They were literally owned by their fathers who could give them away. We still use that language. Our dads still give us away when we get married because it's a testimony to that period of time when women were pieces of property that were owned by their fathers and given to their husbands. And so all of the women in their whakapapa were disappeared because they were born with the surname of their father and they died with the surname of their husband. And that was the political system that colonised us. And so Māori women went from a status of manawahine to being British citizens and therefore chattels. And unfortunately, our men in many, many cases actually benefited from that change because they no longer had to share power with us. They became, the informants to white governors and historians who rewrote the history of men as the history of all of us.
You know, so we're giving these stories and I'm watching the Waitangi Tribunal, the panel. I'm just wondering what they're going to do with the information.
Well, I'd like to think that it's a done deal, that the Waitangi Tribunal will recognise that Māori women did lose our mana, our status, our equality, as a direct consequence of signing the treaty, though that was not what we intended, certainly not, and that they are able to, the most important thing I think is that there is a historical account that shows how that happened and it shows the Crown in action, reinforced our subservient status, which is reflected in the terrible statistics of Māori women even today. So if they're going to deal with compensation or redress, then it has to be seen that we need a comprehensive educational strategy so that all of our people and all New Zealanders can learn this true history. can learn of the true status of Māori women, the mana of Māori women prior to the signing of the treaty, and that we address those inequalities in government decisions about representation on governance boards and on funding to create educational strategies so that all New Zealanders can learn the truth of our history, and that there is adequate support for Māori women who want to make change in their lives, because those are things that have not happened over the last 150 years.
The stories of our entrepreneurial wahine, our political astuteness of our wahine, all of those are part and part of our wahine pūrākau, our her stories. I'm just wondering...
You know, here's the thing, though. I mean, we only had 13 Māori women who were, and I put this in inverted commas, allowed to sign the treaty. But I guarantee there were many, many more Māori women that turned up and were actively dissuaded by the government officials and perhaps even by their own menfolk to not sign. So we only have 13 women who signed the treaty, but I'm sure there were many, many more women who were already in the rangatira roles in their communities and in their hapu and iwi who were dissuaded from showing that mana even at the signing of the treaty, and that was, what, 181 years ago?
Interesting, because Pākehā men who were whāngai into... some whānau and hapu, I'm talking about actually talking on a personal level here, my tūpuna from England was able to sign on behalf of the hapu he was whāngai into, was able to sign, but his rangatira wahine from Kahungunu ki te Tonga was not.
Isn't that funny? Even at 1840, we already had inculcated many of these Western values and ideas about women's subservience, and that has percolated through into every aspect of Māori society. And so we have a huge task ahead of us to re-educate and reconstruct all of that if we want to move forward in a fair and equitable way. And I see that as one of the most important outcomes of all of the treaty settlement processes, not just for whānau, hapū and iwi, but for manawa as well.
So it goes straight to the essence of equitable equality or equitable access to all things resources, including pūtea, education, workplaces, not just at the higher echelon ends of, you know, wahine on boards, but actually our ability to catch the right bus at the right time to get ourselves to mahi, or the ability to have, you know, cheap petrol to get our tamariki to kura. It's as simple as that. Absolutely. As well too, isn't it?
Yes, it covers all spectrums. And I mean, no one treaty claim is going to redeem every wrong, every hair that has occurred. But I think this is a really important one to right a very egregious wrong against Māori women. And when Māori women are uplifted, Māori communities and Māori families are uplifted. So there's a very practical outcome to this treaty claim. If we empower our women, we empower our tamariki and our whānau. And that has got to be good for New Zealand.
Okay, so with my cynics portai back on, Waitangi Tribunal can make recommendations non-binding by the Crown. Too big, you know, too big. They'll take bits of it, they'll tinker around the edges, not just this government, I'm talking about all governments, all the governments do it. Tinker around the edges and, you know, give out a few little bits here and these, here and there, but nothing substantial, definitely nothing transformational.
I realise that, but look at what we Māori have been able to do with the tiny crumbs that we have received. Look at what the iwi have done with the dregs that they've been given, the little bits of money and the little plots of land. Look at what we've been able to do with fisheries and forestry and water. So, you know, you give us a scrap and we will work with it, because that's all we've got to work with, and we will make the transformation. It's not up to the Crown to do that. They just have to give us the scraps, because we have already proven we can turn scraps into gold.
Absolutely. You know, one of the other colonising tools, I guess, as well, too, was to embed our women.
Yes. Although that's a two-way street, because there were many women who married white men in the 18th and 19th century and brought them into the whānau. You see many, many fabulous foreign names, you know, from Dame Georgina being a Hackenschmidt to the Bidoirs and the Lawrences and the Delamere's. These were white men who married into our families, and we colonised them as much as they colonised us.
Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Wonderful to cordial it all with you always. I hope the weather settles down and your plane gets to land and take back off again in Whangarei.
So do I. Thank you so much. Ka kite.
That is Dr. Ella Henry. She was one of the claimants, one of the claimants at the Manawahine claim. This is week number 3 and it is day 1.